Okay, good morning. Today's class is in the success of Yekutel Yehuda Mordechai ben Gittel Rivka, also Lunishmat.
Elizabeth Bar
Margot.
And Margot Bat
Jemina. Also Lunishmat Yochbir Denim Gedalia, success in Yerushimayim Elisheva Namak, Adiel Ben Elisheva, Emmet Elisheva, Shefa Ben Elisheva, Reda Malka Vatabarasha. Please share and rate the podcast. And we are going to, God willing, be in New York in May, in June, and in LA in May. All right, very, very good, very great concept. We're going to do today lesson 66. This is, anytime I'm running out of fuel in my life, I go to this Torah. You know, every Torah, Reb Nachman has a specific, you know, one if you need to work on surrendering, this is the Torah for surrendering. Another Torah, you need to work on self-esteem, 282 is for self-esteem. But when the gas is low in the tank, this is the lesson you have to go to. That's the one thing about Reb Nachman's Torah. It's always, where are you at in life? What lesson do you need to apply? And it's incredible. Just by learning it, even if you didn't do nothing, you get the oxygen. It's incredible. Just by learning it, just by just literally saying it and learning it, it has a conscious effect on you. And it did exactly that. So obviously, right before we get to Purim, obviously there's a lot of concealment and there's a lot of obstacles, a lot of mental obstacles that probably weren't there before, but they're really, really enhanced. Obviously, this is exactly the job of a Malik. This is exactly why this Shabbat we're going to remember Zachor, remember a Malik. We're going to have to destroy them, and it's a conscious thing because all of these things are coming up, and all these things are coming up. And next thing you know, the fatigue comes in, and I can't do this anymore, and I'm blocked, and I don't have strength. So then that's exactly when you feel like giving up in life, it's time to turn it up. When you feel like giving up in life, it's time to turn it up. And this is, again, you should recognize what we're going to talk about here, is instead of being completely knocked out by the obstacle, recognize how great the goal is. That is really the mind shift here. The mind shift is instead of being so burnt out, imagine you're Shalom Bayit. You know, so much work on your Shalom Bayit, or a guy's working on a 40-day challenge, or whatever this guy's working on. Usually people are completely burnt out by this thing, and it unfortunately weakens them. And you should not look at it that way. The whole point in Breslov teachings is to turn the meniot, which is the problem, into the neimot, into the solution, into the pleasure. Now, it's a mind shift. So let's say I'm struggling in the ability to focus, to write a book, let's say. I shouldn't say I'm not a writer, I'm not good enough to write a book, I can't handle these challenges. I should say, oh my God, this book is going to be so great. I'm so excited for the challenges. I'm so excited for the obstacles. Welcome the obstacles. Easier said than done, obviously. But if you shift your mindset, if you shift your consciousness and become excited about the obstacles, then you actually get both. But if you get burnt out by the obstacles, then you get nothing. So it's pretty much, you could decide if you want to fill up the gas tank, or at the end of the day, just let it go. And that's a decision that's up to you. It's exactly what Amalek wants to do. But Reb Nachman tells us that, first he tells us that you have to be very, very careful that all your thoughts enter into speech. The Zohar says all a person, you know, it's funny how it's incredible how that happens. Even if you didn't say anything wrong about the person, just because you thought negatively about the person, somehow that negativity will come back to you. Isn't that incredible? No. Just by the I didn't say anything. Yeah, yes, you didn't say anything, but you were rummaging for 2 hours about negativity. Do you understand? It's a big difference between saying something, because eventually Reb Nachman says something. Actually, the Zohar says this. He says that a person, his lips will whisper his thoughts. This is coming from the Zohar. So if you realize why there's so much, you know, I had a situation the other day with somebody and there was like a complete blow up. Very simple. I wasn't thinking positive about him. He wasn't thinking positive about me. So all that had to happen was a little incident that basically broke the camel's back. And next thing you know, but that didn't come because of the stupidity that happened. That came because of the negativity before, and his negativity, so that it was just so much resentment that boom, all had to just break. So yes, just to remind yourself that you're whispering, your thoughts are whispering you, even if you don't know. Oh, I didn't say anything. No. What you're thinking about, you're actually sending a vibrational signal to the other person. Incredible concept. If I didn't hear from the Zohar, you would think a law of attraction. Yes, this is actually the source of it. So be careful. So the same thing with our goals. If you think you can't do it, you're actually sending a negative vibrational signal. And this is, again, this is in the Zohar. This is Rav Nachman's teachings. This is not some new age thing. Right here. It's right here in your face. Although a person does not perceive this, this happens very subtly. It's because every thought that a person is eventually thinks about, it's going to enter into speech. So whatever you think about, you're going to end up saying. So again, like everything else in our life, you have to discipline the mind to see what you're focusing on, because you're going to end up saying exactly what you think about, pretty much. So you have to be careful, again, of the story that you're telling yourself, because that story is eventually going to become the reality, unfortunately. Similarly, anything that a person must do in this world has to come through speech. So that he talks about how everything, in just like the beginning of the world, everything has to come through speech. So when thinking about, everything has to go through thought, speech, and action. That's how exactly how everything comes into tuition. So this is the importance of us when we dedicate a time to yearn, we dedicate a time to just put it out the energy, to put it out there. That is considered exactly. Well, you say, well, I just want to get to the action part. No. What happens is it's through the yearning itself that causes the breaking of the obstacles. It's the desire. It's the obstacle that's actually creating the vessel. Now, why is this happening like this? It's very simple. Just like you cannot give too much medication to a person because he doesn't have the vessel. You know, you give certain medication to people. You can give it to them in one shot for the whole month. You got to microdose it, right? And the microdosing, every single time you struggle in something, you're actually producing the vessel. So it's purposely made in heaven that it gives it to you as a microdose, not to give it to you as a one shot, because if you got it one shot, you wouldn't know how to handle it, you don't have the vessel for it for this, and it would ultimately self-destruct. So this is why we think about, oh my God, how long am I going to go in through this? How many obstacles? You know, I remember every time going to Uman, you know, it's this is canceled, and that is canceled, and this is this, and that, it's just one thing. And then the border, you have to wait 2.5 hours. And then this is it. And this, it's all microdosing of light purposely given to us in specific doses. Because if the dose is too high, you would not appreciate it, or it would break you. You cannot handle it. So this is exactly why the obstacles, you think, well, can I just get this over with? No. The answer is no. The answer is you have to go through the process. Specifically why. It's very important to understand the background behind all this, because then you can start having more patience when you're going through these obstacles, and you start, because otherwise you lose patience. This is exactly what Rav Nachman says, that the main thing that causes us to break obstacles is because we get angry and we don't have the patience to go through these situations. You don't have the patience to deal with people, you don't have the patience to deal with this business, you don't have the patience, we don't have the patience. And just like patience, exactly, it's also connected to the same thing as desire. Because the word keter means run to the light, but at the same time, wait. So you're running, but you're waiting. So it's like a paradox. I will be, but then I have to work on my character. So the light of keter, this is why everybody who's connected to Rav Nachman is all connected to the light. We're all connected to the light, but it's the bouncing back that is so frustrating, the bouncing back. I feel great, I feel terrible. I feel great, I feel terrible. Like we said many times, the favorite drink in the breast of circles is 7-Up, right? Up, you're down, up, you're down. The mind, the moon shifts. This is exactly why I got a cold plunge in the sauna at night, because I have to, it's a mooch, I need to shift the mood. It's so much ups and downs, but this is exactly what is actually preparing the vessels for you to make it. So what does he say here? It says, in order to turn potential into actual, the letters must be, and again, just like God created the world in potential, then he became actual. The same thing. You have a potential to do something, then you have to create the so God gives you a desire. He gives you a thought to do. Let's say he gives you an idea to get married. You have to take the thought and bring it to, he gives you a thought to build a house. You want to live in a house. You think about the house, but then you have to go hire a contractor, find out the land. That whole process has to happen. But you begin with the thought in mind. But the thought is like the imprint to get you to basically hit the target, and then you have to work backwards. That's how you have to work backwards. But at the end of the day, the whole point is to make it one. You know, like I was finally finished my house with, I put a cold plunge, I put a sauna, I put a steam. That took like a year, 2 months to do it, you know, Miami contract. But at the end of the day, the original thought of me going into the cold plunge at a certain hour, going to the sauna, that came through. But the amount of patience and this didn't work. And that, it's the same thing with our goals. We have to have the goal, but then we have to have the patience to let the goal come out. And if we're getting hit with too many obstacles, our job is to turn it up in desire. That is the toughest thing out of this whole thing. It's one thing is to wait. Another thing is to constantly desire, even if you're getting rejected. Because most people cannot handle rejection today. Again, failure is an event, not you. Most people cannot handle. But if you signed up to Rav Nachman's teachings, all he's going to tell you is one thing. Welcome the rejection. The rejection is actually the cleansing. It's preparing you. It's a preparation to be. It's a preparation. It's not meant to knock you out. And this is, again, the dysfunctional function that we today, we were not thinking the right way. And he says, the way to draw vowel points into letters is through desire and longing. This is because every single situation in life, every single thing, is you just get the letters. The vowels are up to you. And it's funny how the word kesef, everybody loves money, is the same word as kesufim, desire. That means money and desire come from the same place on high. So just like everybody loves money and what they'll do for money, you have to have the same desire spiritually. You got me? It's the same words. How could it be the same word? Kesef, kesufim. Kesufim means desire, kesef. That means the biggest problem in life is when we stop yearning. That's the problem. It's not where you fall. It's not where you're up. It's the you stop. The Amalek cooled you down. You stop looking. You're not in the market anymore. You gave up. That is the problem. That is the problem today. It's not whether or not, it's when you stop trying. That's it. You said, that's it. I'm done. And you start creating, we start creating cues. It's not for me. That is the problem. That begins a cycle of low self-esteem, which will lead to all kinds of self-destructive behavior. You can never stop moving. I don't care where you're at, depending on the situation the person's in. The Reb Nachman says there's no such thing as despair. Despair doesn't exist. Why? Why doesn't despair exist? It's a pretty, you could tell me, Heidi, what do you mean? Does despair doesn't exist? Look what's out there. Because the way God created the world, He never would destroy the world again, after the flood of Noah. So that means every single situation practically today that has a tremendous amount of darkness will exactly be followed by an expansion. This situation in Israel will be followed by a tremendous expansion of light. Okay, but right now we're going through the process. We're going through the process. The running and returning. We all became united, and then all of a sudden we have a setback. Now we need another push, right? We had the original push of light and unity. Then that lasted a little bit, didn't last too long, right? Now you got a setback. Now you need another push again, and then you're gonna get another setback. But it's exactly the way it works. And again, it's all meant on purpose, because if it was too much light, we don't have vessels to contain it. So it's extremely important to recalibrate these obstacles in our lives. And I speak to myself every single time. I'm getting burnt out. I say, what am I being burnt? Because I'm taking it too personal. Instead of, I should say, look what's at the end of the sun. If there's so much of an obstacle, that means there's a tremendous upside. You know, I'm dealing with guys with 40-day challenges, and they tell me it's impossible. I said, look what's on the other end of the side is marriage, wealth. You know, not just marriage. That doesn't mean you're going to guarantee happiness, but at least you'll be able to find you'll be able to have self-esteem, self-control. You know what that could lead you to life? If you have self-esteem, self-control, it could change your life. But you have no self-esteem, you can't walk into a marriage with an active addiction. Are you out of your mind? God's purposely not making you getting married, because if you walk into a marriage with an active addiction, forget it. You thought being by yourself was a problem? Wait until you deal with another person. So it's purposely God preparing you for this. He's preparing you. He's getting all the garbage out of us. But we end up getting what we want only if we continue to push and yearn. When you stop running to the light, that is the greatest problem you have. That is the problem. This is what Rav Nosson says, that each of these challenges are intended to test and refine you and to ask you depending upon exactly what, and he says that really the only obstacles we have are the obstacles of our mind. That is a real obstacle. Because at the end of the day, God is in the obstacle itself. Do you understand? God is there. Where God says, go to Paro, right? God was there. God's in the obstacle. It's just hidden. So anytime we're dealing with hiddenness, is exactly that. Rav Nachman says here, when the hand of God opens and the Shefa descends, each person, listen to this line, when the hands have opened, each person receives according to his ratzon, according to his desire. You receive according to your intent, according to your will. This is why we say, Enei kol alecha yisev rotan levito, poteach yadecha mesfil kol haratzon. We open up our hands and you give to each one of us according to his desire. What do you mean according to his desire? Yes, desire is extremely valuable in heaven. It's one of the greatest things you can have when you continue to you have to stay on fire. You have to continue to create the desire. Don't focus on at the end of the day, don't focus at of the prize. The prize is going to be given to you by heaven. That's up to heaven. You're not responsible for the prize. You're responsible for the pushing. You are responsible for the pushing. The heaven is responsible for the result, for the results. You are responsible for the pushing. And in heaven, they're going to ask you, not did you get this, did you want it? Did you want it? So being comfortable today is the biggest problem we can have today. It's not the ups and downs, it's the comfort level. That is just, it's spiritual suicide. Because when you get comfortable in this, you're going to get comfortable in that. And then you're going to get comfortable in that. And then you're going to say, what the hell happened? What the hell happened? What the hell happened? You're going to ask one day. So yes, I might be a little Scorpio crazy, but I know when I'm running out of gas, I'm like, I'm just not going to stop and be lazy and just say, okay, the obstacle is bigger than me. Time to turn it up. It's the only way. So again, yes, you have to be a little bit of a maniac in this, but this is, if you're connected to Rav Nachman's teachings, this is the menu. Otherwise, it's not for everybody. Rav Nachman's teachings are not. Rav Nachman's teachings are clearly. Rav Nachman says, "My teachings are from the Pele, the Keter." So, if you are connected if you're running to the light, that means there's a good sign. If you're crashing, that's also a good sign too. But if you're not doing anything, if you're just sitting there on 72 degrees, that's a problem because nothing's going to happen. If you get to 100 and then crash to 50 and then crash to 50 and you might think, oh, something's wrong with me and my life isn't so, you're perfectly, absolutely normal. It's called being normal because you're running to the light. You're desiring. So Raracha says, the hand of God opens up and Shefa descends, each person receives according to his ratzon. If a person that wants money, the Shefa will come to him in the worldly matter of livelihood. If a person wants blessing of intellect, God's bounty and blessing will manifest in that way. Each person will receive. Why? Because all of this manifests from the awareness needed to perceive the light of Ein Sof. So running to the light is running to the light of Ein Sof. That's when we say running to the light. That's why you could see most people in recovery, there's perfect customers for Rav Nachman. Perfect customers. Because at least they're running to the light. You get me? They're very spiritual people. Now we just have to, tweak the vessel a little bit to make sure it runs to infinity, not toxicity. But running to the light is exactly right. It's exactly just like everything else in life. You can't just have a relationship where there's just too much stability. It's not gonna. Eventually, people will be bored. You need a little Moroccan energy. You need to get out of the house, come back in, go up, go down. You need a little bit. It seems crazy for you. But you need a little bit of the uncertainty in life just to keep you hungry, because keep you hungry will keep you desiring. And if you're not desiring, because again, and this is the worst curse of America, when we become cold and we have money and we stop desiring. Oh, I have money, what do I need to desire more? That is a problem. So yes, one thing is, the way you should do anything is the way you should do everything. Having money shouldn't allow you to stop your spiritual goals. But today, money cools everybody off. Today, oh, money, what do I need? God, I have this car. That should not be the case at all. Because believe me, most people that have money are not really happy. But they don't have purpose to it. If the money does not have purpose, it does not have a greater picture, money does not solve anything. It just makes you exactly more of who you are. So that's just really, really doesn't solve. Believe me, I can tell it to you. Right, it's the yearning, and it doesn't mean yearning for something. It could be yearning to grow, yearning yearning for something. You have to yearn, and this is exactly what Ranachman is telling us here. The barrier is for the sake of the desire, so that he will have greater desire to do that thing. Since the barrier keeps a person from something, greatly increases the desire for it. For example, if you show a child an object, and all of a sudden you take it away from him, he's not going to say, well, I guess it's not for me. It's not for me. I understand. It's not for me. Okay, I'll quit. You give a kid a lollipop, give a two-year-old a lollipop, and take it away from him and see what he does. He's going to scream. He's going to yell. He'll kick you. He wants a lollipop. So that's exactly the way we should be. When something is getting taken away from you, you should have the exact same desire as the 2-year-old with the lollipop. Because that's exactly what inside of you is connected to. When you say it's not for me, that is a problem. And the same regarding holiness. A person is prevented from attaining a thing that is crucial for him. Listen to this. Rabbi Nachman says, according to, how do you know your greatness? By exactly what your problem is. By exactly your weakness. That's exactly how he tells you. How do you know? He says a person is prevented from attaining the thing that is crucial for him in Judaism so that he attains his desire. As it says, bread eaten in secret is a delight. The more a thing is withheld and concealed from a person, the more he should want and want it. But the same thing, when a person stops wanting it, the same thing in holiness, when confronted by an obstacle. I remember when I first started into Breslov teachings, they thought I was in a cult. I had every single person told me, I'm out of my mind, what are you doing, you're crazy, what kind of teachings are these? I said, you guys should be in the mental hospital, not me. Okay, I'm okay. But the whole world looked at me like I was some kind of Martian, and these, who are you to teach classes? Everybody, but I knew Reb Nachman, stay focused, stay in your lane, and blot out all the noise. And it's exactly what I did. I couldn't care less what they said. I didn't care less what they said, and that's what got me determined. But there is no question of every single person, you're crazy, what are you doing, blah, 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 everybody. But it's exactly what they wanted. They wanted to prevent the desire. They wanted to cool me down. I said, absolutely not. I know what I got, and I know where I'm going. The same thing applies to holiness. When a person is confronted by an obstacle, a person's desire has to go even stronger. And the greater the desired object, the greater the obstacle. For there are three elements: the desire, the desiree, and the desired. The person who desires is the object that is desired, and desire is the one who is the object intended. So again, and listen to this, the extent of the desire has to be in proportion to the magnitude to the desired object. So this is why we hear the advice of Rabbi Rush when he tells you, go do 30 minutes of Hizbodidut on this. Go do 20 minutes of this. Go talk about this issue for 30 minutes. What do you talk about this issue for 30 minutes? You have lack. You have no joy in your life. Go talk to God about giving you joy for 30 minutes. You would be crazy to do this. It's because it's exactly that. Your obstacle in life is joy. And that is blocking everything in your life. So you have to go and give 30 minutes of time just to beg God over and over, God, you have to give me joy. Because remember, when I'm building desire, I will break the obstacle. Do you understand? It's not that we think our knowledge, it's the knowledge is given to you. Knowledge is opened in your mind. Knowledge is not something you have or not. God will open up your mind, or he can close your mind. Or let's say a person is suffering with low self-esteem. He has to spend a certain amount of time begging God to give him self-esteem. End the story. He has to beg God to give it to you, because that's exactly what's stopping your whole life. So the problem should get so bad in your life that you should look at it and to say, wow, if I just cross this bridge, my life would be completely different. But the way we are looking at it, and the way I personally look at it sometimes when I get burnt out, and we personalize it, we start getting, oh, I'm getting picked on in heaven. Heaven's picking on me. Why is heaven not making it easier? Because again, you have to, if it was easier for you, you wouldn't pray for it. You wouldn't desire it. It's exactly the opposite. The problem is created so you can pray for it, so you can break it. But God is constantly showing us to us exactly what our problem is in our lives, and He's showing us, and it's hanging like a 300-pound gorilla, and we're saying, oh, this doesn't feel so bad, this gorilla on my shoulders. I can live with this. And then we adapt to mediocrity. But we shouldn't. We could say, I'm not walking around with a 300-pound gorilla. What does it look like in my life to live light? What would it look like in my life to walk around with light and walk around with not being so concerned about people or concerned? Whatever, again, everybody has their own menu of their own issues. Another person is to get married, another person's sexual issues, another person's self-esteem, another person is lack of trust in himself, one person is can't give charity out. Everybody has their own menu of situations. That is purposely tailored for you. Another person struggles with Shabbat. Another person struggles. Everybody has it. Everybody has it. Believe me, if you worked on yourself, you could definitely identify what that issue is. And just like anything else, if you give the energy and you work on it, you could see how that problem is getting relieved in your life. And then when you stop, you could see the Yetzer Hara comes, and here you go, you're back at the same problem. Yeah. So what do you do? Either you're going to pay. You can either pay the price of desire, or you're going to pay the price of dealing with an obstacle tearing you down. There's no, in life, life is basically telling us, what do you want to toil in? That's what God's telling you. I'm going to give you an option. You could toil working out, or you're going to be toil with obesity. It's up to you to toil. It's not, heaven allows you to choose what to toil on. You could die, you could toil spiritually, or you're going to be toiling with an addiction. But you are going to toil in something. You just have to decide where you want to toil. Now, if you're smart, you toil working out, you feel good about yourself. You know, it's yes, it's pain, but at the end of the day, the benefits are better than sitting there with going to doctors and dealing with obesity and all kinds of chronic illnesses. So if you're smart, you choose the better one. But otherwise, you just get stuck with what you get. And that's the problem in life. But we all come with the baggage that we come with is very, very connected to the baggage that we have in our previous life, in our tikkun cycle. This is a lot of tikkunim that have to be you're coming here to recycle, past situations, and those things have to be fixed. And that's very, very connected to that. And this is the rule. All obstacles are for the sole purpose of desire, in order to greatly heighten one's desire. Therefore, when a person's desire is extremely great, he will certainly be capable of accomplishing the thing and turning the potential into actual. As explained above, this is because desire creates the vowel points to which we actualize our potential. Desire breaks the obstacle, since the obstacle is primarily only for the purpose of the desire. Therefore, when a person's desire is extremely great, the proportion of the barrier will automatically break. It's incredible. These words itself should shake you up. But that's exactly what I saw. So when I saw myself, what's going on here? I said, oh, I see, desire's gone. Time to re-engage. So you should look at times where you start getting weak. It's because your desire is lost. You know, when you stop desiring to fix a marriage, that's a problem, because that marriage will end up breaking. When you stop desiring this, you're going to end up getting the casualty. Casual with something, you'll become a casualty to that situation. So that's why you have to start reclaiming, renaming your obstacles. And you have to start looking at the other side of what is going to come out of this thing if it's done. Like, what would my life look like if I was 50 pounds lighter? What would my life look like if I was be able to get rid of my resentment, and I would have accept people? What would my life look like? That's really the question you have to ask yourself. What would my life look like on the other side of this obstacle? And then you have to act as if, and then push every day. That's how you have to work on. That's basically the thing. What would my life look like if I was on this? What would my life look like if I did 30 minutes of Hizbodidut every single day? What would my life look like? How much calmness, inner calmness? So there you go. You start talking, you have nothing, you're going to have to say nothing. So there's your obstacle. There it goes to show you the resistance is teaching us exactly the magnitude of the greatness of that situation. because today we have very low patience, unfortunately, and we are in a very instant gratification mindset, which is not good. It's okay to get Amazon in 35 minutes, in 2 hours, and Instacart. That's good. But you can't treat your whole life like that. Do you understand? That is good. That is convenient. We're grateful. But you're treating your whole life as Instacart and Amazon Prime. And that's not how it works, Prime. That these addictions don't go away. You know, people ask me, do you have a 2-minute video on addiction? Are you crazy? Are you crazy? Do you have a 2-minute video on addiction? Do you have a 1-minute video? 1-minute video? 1-minute video, you're not going to get anything out of it. So what? You're going to get it? All you're going to get is a sprinkle of water. Sprinkle of water. Do you understand the mindset today? It's too long, the classes. What do you think? You're going to be able to change in 2 seconds? So this itself is the problem. I can't focus on more than 1 minute. You have a problem then. You have a serious problem. You need to do his bow to do 30 minutes a day on focusing. And that is the key to everything. Is you focus on what is bothering the heck out of you, and put yourself on the other side. Look, feel what it would feel like to be on the other side of it, and then get to work. That is where stubbornness is actually good. Stubbornness is actually good when you hold on, when you say, "I'm not leaving till this is out. I'm not breaking that." You see, we're using stubbornness the wrong way. We're using stubbornness to say, "I don't want to, it's not for me." You're using stubbornness the wrong way. This is like using a golden knife to open up a doorknob. You get me? You're using stubbornness the wrong way. The stubbornness was supposed to get you to say, "I'm not stopping until I get this. Until I get this from heaven." And heaven, believe it or not, if it's a spiritual need, heaven has to give it to you. Number one, because why does heaven have to give it to you? It's because it's good for heaven too. So they have to give it to you. So like Rav Nachman says many times, if we haven't received something, it's because we haven't wanted it enough. Or we didn't even want it at all. And this is exactly what he says. A person should not use an excuse to say that he tried and he couldn't do it. Because there is a concept in Judaism that if you desire something and you don't get it, it's considered like you got it. Okay? But that's the, you know, that's the checkbox. But don't think like that. I'm not telling you. You shouldn't just say, "I tried to do it. I went outside. I tried to do it. It didn't work." You shouldn't think that way. You should say, "There's gold on the other side of the. There's gold on the other side of this obstacle. I just need to get to work, and I need to get my." Remember, we've said this many times. When your mind is weak, that's the time you need to infuse your emotions to say it. To get you going. When your emotions are weak, that's the time you need to calm down with your mind. So this is a time when we feel like we want to give up. It's a time to arouse emotion, to arouse desire and emotion. That's the purpose. Because the mind's saying, "I'm burnt out." The emotions are not saying you're burnt out. Emotions have to come. And this is exactly what he's saying here. When we descend to Egypt, what happens, the first thing that happened in Egypt, we descended to Egypt, we lost our voice. We got stuck in the back of the throat. Our speech was completely constricted. So, because it lacked intent. They were burnt out. They were emotionally burnt out. The tikkun of Egypt was to go to Pesach. Pesach, open up your mouth. Do you understand? They didn't even want to be free. The problem in Egypt was they didn't even want to be free. 80% of them died in the plague of darkness. Why? Because they lacked desire and because they lacked faith in themselves. So what happens, that's the modern version of institutionalization today. I just want to become institutionalized. That means, I'm okay. I want to become institutionalized. I don't want to do anything. So your shot is 20%. That means 20% of the people made it out. Because, and the other 80 died in darkness. And the whole problem in Egypt was what? They lacked desire. They stopped, they gave up. They wanted free melons, they wanted free fish. They don't. Just imagine. And this is not what we're at. We're made from. So I guess, you know, God is sending the heat now. You could see the heat's coming in heaven, like October 7th. There's a lot of heat out there. So you have to do something with this heat. There's a lot of heat. It's not the same heat that we had before, by the way. This is real heat. But let's use this heat the right way. Have a great day.